So where will you gather as a family this Christmas? Wherever and however you gather, it will probably come down to gathering around a table at your house or at the house of a relative or a friend or maybe even a restaurant. And who will be at your family Christmas table? At my own family's Christmas table, you could never tell who would show up. Most of the year, the dining room table in my family's home went unused. But on holidays, especially at Christmas, that table, a pretty small table in a pretty small dining room, suddenly grew. It grew long with leaves that would expand it, sometimes right out into our living room. And around this table that usually sat only four, it would be a dozen, sometimes two dozen people at Christmas. The people included the family that we usually saw, and family we only saw at Christmas. And it would always include people from our neighborhood who were alone, like the widow who lived next door, and friends from college who had no place to go that my brothers and I would invite to be there. One Christmas, I invited my college roommate, who was an only child from a broken home. He had never experienced a Christmas table quite like my family's. And I could tell it overwhelmed him, all these different strangers together. And as we gathered to sit down for dinner, and after we had some Christmas punch, and I noticed that he had had more than a few cups of that punch, he leaned over to me and whispered, although I think everybody could hear him, "Well, this is a motley crew." Of course, I turned red, put the napkin over my face, and laughed, because he was absolutely right about this gathering at my house. A mass of contrasts, of people brought together more by chance than design. It was our Christmas family. So it is that we gather this night as a family with our contrasts in background and age and temperament and experience and all those things that make us different from one another. And this family, our Christmas family, also gathers around the table, the altar of the Lord's Supper, where all are welcome. And around this table, we gather in celebration of the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, child of Mary and Joseph. According to the Gospel of Luke, that first Christmas family gathering took place in Bethlehem in an open-air stable where strangers gathered an animal's bed. Nothing very glorious at all is suggested by the setting where the Savior of the world was born. And thinking for a moment about Jesus' entire life, how ironic it is that the way in which he came into the world was not that much different from the way in which he ultimately left. That first Christmas night, there was no room at the inn, and so a manger had to do as the place for this miraculous birth to happen. And at the end of his life, the Lord Jesus would have no place to be buried, save for a tomb carved out of the rock. That first Christmas night, the child Jesus was wrapped in bands of cloth. At his life's end, he was wrapped in linen cloth. The parents of this child are, in the words of our time, homeless. And throughout his life, Jesus would speak about how the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. in this lonely place, on that first Christmas night, there is no food to feed this child. And yet it is he who grew up and became for others the bread of life. Here, even here in this manger filled with strangers and barnyard animals, choirs of angels appear and sing glory to the unlikeliest person born to be king. No wonder his mother Mary would look on this spectacle of contrasts and silently think about them, trying to comprehend its meaning. His Christmas family consisted of a homeless couple, barnyard animals, and shepherds. Shepherds of all people in that time. Shepherds then were not just the lowliest of laborers. In those days, they were regarded with the same esteem reserved for sinners and tax collectors. Yet to these shepherds is given the supreme honor to hear the news of the angels, to be the first to pay homage to this salt of the earth king, and also the privilege and responsibility to go and tell the world about what they saw and heard. And the shepherds did. For in that manger they could see in an instant that they had been given a great gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. You and I, we carry their spiritual DNA. Us, the spiritual ancestors of these shepherds, this first family in a world reclaimed by God for his purposes, we too are given the opportunity to be shepherds. This night, we gather as a family not so different from that first one, really, with all the contrasts and with the very same hope. That on this night, the light that shined especially on Bethlehem then will also shine especially on us, whoever we are, however we come, as we gather around our family Christmas table. This very night, an ancient story is retold, not because of tradition, but because of an offer to us to hear words of salvation meant for you and for me. This night we are given a chance to open our hearts and receive the gift of love from a God who came not just for the pious and the perfect, but who came to save all sorts and conditions of human beings. This is the story of our family Christmas, yours, mine, ours. The power of this story is such that we are drawn back to it year after year. All of us, different and diversified as we are, hear something in this story as it is related in the Gospel of Luke. Something that resonates within us. In it, we hear the real story of Christmas, the one that many people have no idea about or who would ignore its power. And that story is the story that draws us back year after year, the one that tells us that God's love always shows up exactly where it needs to be. In the mass of human contrast that is our world, in homeless shelters, in an oncology ward, in places where there is war, in a broken city, in a church where people gather in the hope that God has not forgotten them. It is precisely into this human family that the embodied God of love and salvation always shows up. This night he comes in the word of the ancient scriptures. He will come in the bread of life that you and I will eat as our family meal this evening. And he will come at that part of the Holy Eucharist we call the peace, when we turn to one another and say, peace be with you, or Merry Christmas tonight. And when we do, it is meant to be more than mere sentiment and greeting, more than just symbolism. The peace we share is meant to be the peace of the Prince of Peace himself. The recognition that both the family member and the stranger stand in the same light of Bethlehem. And it is in that contrast that we find our unity as a family of God. And then in a short while, we go out into the darkness of this holy night. We do so, but not the same way that we came in. We go out having been touched by his word and sacrament. Go and tell others what you heard and saw this night at our family table. Go as shepherds and tell that story. Make that story yours the whole year through. Merry Christmas.